Support comes from the Missouri Forest Products Association, saluting Earth Day on April 22nd with an ongoing commitment to help offset carbon emissions with sustainable harvesting of Missouri forests. Details at choosewood.com.
From St. Louis Public Radio. This is St. Louis on the Air.
Sometimes they're calling just to report that they've seen a wild animal and they're concerned because they're worried that it needs to be, you know, taken to the wild. Sometimes they call because they find a baby animal that they think needs help. We are not there 24/7. We're there really early in the morning until pretty late at night a lot of times, but we have an answering service that actually will give you a lot of this common information. You can hit a button that says you found a fawn and it will basically tell you the information that I just gave you now.
Wow, you know exactly what people are going to be calling about at this point.
We do.
I'm Sarah Fenske. Last year was an especially busy one for the Wildlife Rescue Center in Baldwin. It cared for some 3,500 creatures. That's with a staff of just 7, along with an army of volunteers, everyone helping as best they could, even while keeping themselves as safe as they could from COVID-19. And joining us today to share more is Kim Rutledge. She is the executive director of the Wildlife Rescue Center that's right here in Baldwin. Kim, welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So 3,500 creatures certainly sounds like a lot. Put that in perspective for us. How many animals does the Wildlife Rescue Center help in a typical year?
3,500 is definitely a lot. We've kind of slowly been creeping up in number over the past 5 or 6 years, but took about a 15% jump last year. So for a long time, we would say we helped around 2,500, and then it creeped up to 3,000. And then last year was the first time that we went over that 3,500 mark.
And do you have any theory on what might have been driving that last year?
We have lots of theories, of course. It's been a topic of conversation because we didn't really know what to expect. We thought it was possible that with people staying home, maybe we would see less encounters and interactions with wildlife, which is typically what send them to the Wildlife Rescue Center if they're injured or orphaned or sick. And now kind of the working theory is possibly because people were home more, they perhaps were in their yards and encountering animals. It also it feels good to help wildlife. So in a time when people were super stressed out, it could be possible that people, you know, really were going out of their way to try to be good Samaritans when they could.
Well, so you guys were ready to handle this, but that did not come without complications for you. I mean, so many businesses just shut down entirely or had to curtail their hours so people weren't there at the same time as each other. It sounds like you weren't able to do that.
We actually were in the midst of gearing up. The work that we do is very seasonal. When wildlife are out and about, they're, you know, getting into trouble. So when we have active wildlife in the spring and the summer, that's when we see the most animals. And of course, also during baby season, as we call it. So when animals are breeding and having babies, then it gets much, much busier at the center. So just before the stay-at-home order went into effect, actually just days before, we were having our annual baby season kickoff meetings, as we call them, with our army of volunteers. It happened just at the end of the week prior to the stay-at-home order. And once we were keeping up with what was happening, keeping track of what we needed to do to be safe, and really over the course of a weekend, we managed to communicate with our group of volunteers to get everybody's availability, find out if we had people that could do multiple shifts, and we completely changed the way that we operate so that we could have isolated groups and teams that didn't come into contact with each other. So we had people coming in earlier in the morning, leaving midday. We had a time when no one was in the building and things were disinfected. The evening team would come in, disinfect again, and then continue and to care for animals, disinfect before they left. So we had 5 isolated teams, and so our small staff and lots of our volunteers, we haven't seen each other for a year, and just recently, now that we've got some folks who are vaccinated and we're able to be in the same spaces, but we operated in those teams to help keep everybody safe.
That took some coordination. Good for you guys. I'm very impressed. I understand you have 70 volunteers. That's a lot of people to figure out what moves where and when. Rose to the challenge here. Tell us about this challenge. What kind of animals are you dealing with most frequently?
Sure. So we rely on members of the public and other government and non-government organizations. When they come across an animal they think needs help, they contact us. We help them determine if they do. So we're talking about wildlife that are the common wildlife that we see every day in our backyards. So small mammals like cottontail rabbits, gray squirrels, possums, mallard ducks and Canada geese, and box turtles, things like that. We see those in very, very large numbers. We do, of course, get occasional animals that are a little less common to see. We do see quite a few red foxes, gray foxes, bobcats occasionally. We've even had a badger, actually, at one point in time. So all the wildlife that you see outside, just about, we treat mammals, reptiles, amphibians, and water birds. So we stay quite busy.
You've said that the patients that don't have to come in are the best stories. What do you mean by that?
Absolutely. So we do admit about 3,500 seems to be where we're trending for this year as well. But that represents only about 10% of the calls that we receive. We field thousands of phone calls, hundreds of phone calls a day in the busy season right now, especially in May. And people call us, sometimes they're calling just to report that they've seen a wild animal and they're concerned because they're worried that it needs to be, you know, taken to the wild. Sometimes they call because they find a baby animal that they think needs help. And so we talk through all of these situations to explain that, you know, seeing a red fox in your yard in a suburban area, not uncommon. That's so cool that you get to see that. And it's nice to talk to folks and they're like, oh, I can be excited about this. I don't need to be worried about this animal living here. It's an indication that I live in a healthy ecosystem. Or right now, especially, we get a lot of phone calls about people coming across white-tailed deer fawns. And part of their survival mechanism is that when these babies are born, they're not strong enough to follow mom around while she eats enough leaves to feed herself and make food for her baby. So these fawns, when they're under 2 weeks old, know instinctively to just lie still and wait for mom. And in areas like St. Louis County, sometimes they're lying still in an area where they're kind of just out in the open, sometimes on people's porches, definitely lots of fawns in yards. And when you come across one of these babies, you can't help but feel like, I at least need to make sure it's okay. A lot of people call us and they're like, I think everything is fine, but I just wanted to make sure it's lying still. I haven't seen mom. So we tell people that, you know, that is perfectly normal. It's doing exactly what it's supposed to. For those first 2 weeks, mom's going to leave those babies alone for up to 22 hours a day. Here's the things that you can look for, you know, but
yeah, that must be a huge relief, knowing you know enough to be able to tell people mom's going to come back.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's wonderful to get those emails with people saying she did come back, or, you know, we reunited that baby and mom came and got it. So that's what we like.
You're getting these calls. It sounds like you get so many calls on top of the thousands of animals we're talking about. Is this a 24/7 operation? If I call at 2 a.m. when somebody comes onto my porch, someone's going to answer?
We are not there 24/7. We're there really early in the morning until pretty late at night a lot of times. But we have an answering service that actually will give you a lot of this common information. You can hit a button that says you found a fawn, and it will basically tell you the information that I just gave you now.
Wow, you know exactly what people are going to be calling about at this point.
We do. We get a lot of these same things, and most wildlife, everybody's got their babies. They have their babies at the same time. And we also, of course, have this information on our website. So we try to provide those resources because people need to, you know, call in and get that information at the same time that we may have 500 patients in our wildlife hospital that we have to take care of as well.
Man, this is quite the operation here. I think I mentioned earlier you've got 70 volunteers. These people are just doing it for the love of animals. Is there any special training before they can come and help?
Yeah, absolutely. We do everything on the job. So it is just folks that have an affinity for wildlife and the environment and want to help. Our volunteers do a lot of hands-on work, and it really is unique. It's with when you're working with wildlife, the goal is to, you know, treat these animals and get them back out into the wild so that they can do their job in the ecosystem. And it's very, very rewarding. It's difficult. It's hard work. It's, you know, a lot of cleaning and things like that. But there are a lot of people out there who really enjoy, you know, getting in, getting their hands dirty and making a difference.
I understand you yourself started as a volunteer. This is back when you were a pre-veterinary medicine student. Have you seen big changes in this organization since you first started dabbling on Monday nights?
Yeah, absolutely. I have seen big changes in the organization and also big changes in the field of wildlife rehabilitation. I had always been an animal lover and like you said, I was going to go into veterinary medicine. And when I found a local wildlife rehabilitation organization, I didn't even know about wildlife rehabilitation 20 years ago. And it was quite the experience. I just absolutely fell in love with it. There was so much need and so little known about it. It was the first time that I thought about how little we really know about the animals in our own backyards. As we grow up as animal lovers, we have, you know, our favorite wildlife, but it's usually something that's far away, something that is exotic to us. And I have seen wildlife rehabilitation grow and get a lot more recognition. And I feel like now, especially compared to 20 years ago, people do sort of expect, like, there has to be a place where I can take, you know, this animal that's been, you know, injured by getting entangled in garbage, or a box turtle that's been struck by a car. Like, there has to be somebody that can take care of them. And it requires a lot of knowledge. Like, there's so many different species that it really is a study all its own.
And now people know to look for you. They're able to find you. You guys are able to help. What are you most excited about going forward now that this pandemic is finally starting in parts of this state, at least, to make a return to normalcy?
Yeah, absolutely. We're very excited to be able to get out into the community again and do outreach events and talk with people about what we do. We're also very, very excited about being able to bring on new volunteers. Mm-hmm. We had to put that program on hold, and we're fortunate that we had, you know, our army of volunteers that stuck with us throughout this whole thing. But it really was quite a process and definitely took its toll. And we miss not being able to bring on new people. We do that 3 times a year. So we're looking at being able to onboard some new volunteers in the next couple of months, and we're very excited about that.
Well, I'm happy to hear that, and it's just great to hear about the good work that you're doing. So Kim Rutledge, Executive Director of the Wildlife Rescue Center, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thank you.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis.
Support comes from the Missouri Forest Products Association, saluting Earth Day on April 22nd with an ongoing commitment to help offset carbon emissions with sustainable harvesting of Missouri forests. Details at choosewood.com.